You're listening to episode 34 of The Taylor Marshall Show, and today we're going to look at the humor and jokes, actually 10 jokes, of the recently canonized Saint John the 23rd. Howdy, and thank you for tuning in to The Taylor Marshall Show. This is the podcast for everyone who wants to create daily habits and learn enough theology to take their faith to the next level. And my goal this week is to introduce you to perhaps the most humorous saint of the last 100 years. That's right, we're talking about the good Pope John, Saint John the 23rd, who was just canonized last week with Pope St. John Paul II. And many of us, especially if you're a younger Catholic, don't know too much about St. John the 23rd. And we're going to learn a little bit about him this week. Well, we've got our tip of the week and our proverb of the week. But before that, I want to give our shout out to our new members of the new St. Thomas Institute. And also remind you that there are still spots available for this pilgrimage. We're going to the Holy Land. We're going to renew our baptismal vows at the Jordan River. We're going to renew our wedding vows at Cana, where Christ elevated matrimony to the dignity of a sacrament. And of course, we're going to go to Bethlehem and Nazareth, Galilee, Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives, Golgotha, the Holy Sepulchre. So if you're interested, please look at our itinerary and try to, you know, learn more about what we're going to do. You can go to pilgrimages.com/Taylor Marshall. pilgrimages.com/Taylor Marshall. Okay, shout out to the new St. Thomas Institute members. So Brian Walsh, welcome. Debbie Lands, Nancy McKiernan, Lisa Lucas, Sister Marie Augustine. Great to see another religious sister in the new St. Thomas Institute. Lisa Daly, Daniel Stevens, and Joseph Hale, welcome to the new St. Thomas Institute. You are a mighty, mighty musk ox. That's our mascot. And if you'd like to learn more about how you can learn theology online from anywhere in the world, we currently have 23 different nations that are members of the new St. Thomas Institute. It's an opportunity to study theology at your own pace, wherever you are, on your laptop or your iPad or even your phone. We give HD videos and MP3s. And it's designed for the person who is extremely busy but wants to take their faith to the next level, to go deeper. And we have well over 1,000 people who are doing that and hundreds who are earning their certificate in theology. So if you're at a computer, go to newstthomas.com and check it out. Well, my tip of the week is actually the tip from the very first podcast, episode 1. It's the Moleskine. I always pronounce this wrong. Pardon me. Some people say Moleskine. I think it's what I used to call it, Moleskine or Moleskine. Some people say Moleskine, and I'm pretty sure that's wrong. But it's the Moleskine book, and I'll put it in the show notes for this podcast. So if you go to taylormarshall.com and click on Weekly Podcast and episode 34, you'll see it there. I'll put an Amazon link in. And the reason this is helpful is every morning, and I kind of got out of it for a while, which was wrong of me. It's kind of hypocritical to recommend it and then to fall out of use, because I was using Evernote, which is another recommendation I made before. But I found that really using the physical book as opposed to a program like Evernote or even just a text document, having that physical book that's in your pocket or in your bag is much more powerful. So get your Moleskine book. And every day on one page, you write 2 to 3 things you're going to do that day. No more than 2 or 3. This is also where I get in trouble. Sometimes I think, oh, I'll put 4 because I'll be really busy, or 5. Don't do that. Don't fool yourself. These are two or three critical tasks that you must complete to move the ball down the field in your vocation, in your job, in your family. They have to be done because the urgent in your life, like that telephone call or that email, is going to trump and take over the space in your life that you need to do the important things. So what you do is you write down two or three things every single day, and you make sure that by the end of the day, they get done. A great example today in my I got a new Moleskine book. I had my old one. It was just about full. I was at the last few pages, and then I lost it. I couldn't find it. So I started using Evernote, and it just did not work as well. So I ordered a new Moleskine book on Amazon, and I got it in the mail, and it was crisp. My old one was, you know, pretty worn out. It was always in my pocket or in my bag, and all the pages were just, they were all blank and pure, and it was just a nice book. And when I wrote the first day and the first tasks on that first blank sheet of paper, it just felt so good, like a new chapter, a new start. And I wrote all my tasks, and one of the tasks for this day was record today's podcast. And usually I get the podcast done after lunch on a Tuesday is when I like to record. And I usually start at around 1, and I'm usually done by about 3 or 3:30 because I also have to edit and produce it and get everything together. But a lot of things happened today. I had a lunch with a really good friend of mine who's a priest, and that went longer. And then I went by the studio at New St. Thomas Institute. And I got to 5 o'clock today, and the podcast wasn't done. But listen, that Moleskine book was staring me in the face. I have to record that podcast because it's one of those 2 to 3 critical tasks. So here I am. The kids are all to bed. It's late. I turned off the air conditioning in the house so the air conditioning wouldn't come on the mic. And for the first time ever, I'm recording a podcast at home. I'm in my bedroom right now, and I've got some pillows around me to buffer the echo. So I had to do it because it's in that book. So get your Moleskine book, write your 2 or 3 things every day, and get them done, even if it means once the kids are in bed, you sneak off to the bedroom and you record your podcast because that's what you committed to. So the Moleskine book, 2 to 3 goals every day, do it, you'll become super duper efficient. Now, our proverb of the week is a little bit different. It's Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 through 27. It goes like this. There are 4 very little things of the earth, and they are wiser than the wise. The ants, a feeble people, which provide themselves food in the harvest. The rabbit, a weak people, which makes its bed in the rock. The locust has no king, yet they all go out by their bands. The lizard supports itself on hands and dwells in kings' houses. End quote. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, the proverb here describes 4 different animals, the ant, the rabbit, the locust, and the lizard, and praises each of these animals. So the ant stores up food for the future. What does that mean for us? It means that we are prepared. You save for that day of crisis. That means you don't rack up a lot of credit card debt and keep nothing in your savings account. It means you must prepare for that day when a medical crisis happens or a financial crisis happens. You must store up for the future. The ants are an example to us humans on how to do that. Second, you have the rabbit. The rabbit, it says, is a weak people, but makes its house in the rock. So the rabbit makes its home in a place that is secure, that is stable. You know, we're reminded of our Lord Jesus Christ when he says that the wise man builds his house upon the rock. That means when you invest in something, whether it's your time, your money, a charity, or maybe even a financial investment, you make sure that it is sound, right? You make your home, you make your environment, you make your habitat in a place that is rock, stone, secure. Now, the third animal is the locust. And it says the locust doesn't have a king, but they all go out by their bands. In other words, even if you don't have a leader, or maybe you don't have a good leader, there is an organization to the way locust lives. That means that we must organize our own lives, whether it be our family or our religious community, or even if we're a single person, how we organize our life. Just because you don't have a king or a boss or a superior telling you what to do doesn't mean that you can go ahead and organize all those areas of your life. And then last, I really like this one, the lizard. So it supports itself on its hands, and yet it dwells in the houses of kings. So the lizard is not a beautiful animal. It usually, you know, you find it at our house, it's in the bushes, and it's around our house. And they're always, of all the animals, they're the ones that are, we live in Texas, are always the one closest to our house, or on the patio in the evenings and in the mornings. And I think there might be something spiritual here, that although we are earthly, although we belong to the earth, we are natural, God has called us to dwell in royal mansions in heaven. And so we should aspire in humility, through the grace of Jesus Christ, to ascend to that which is higher, to ascend to that which is supernatural. All right, there it is. And you notice we skipped our joke of the week, because that leads us into our featured segment of the week, and that is the jokes of St. John the 23rd. We've got 10 of them, and then also my favorite quote, a little bonus thrown in there, of St. John the 23rd, coming up next. Good Pope John the 23rd. He was born in 1881. He was given the name in baptism Angelo Giuseppe Roncalli, or we would say in English, Angel Joseph Roncalli, and he was Pope from October 28th, 1958, until his death in 1963. He was the fourth child of 14 kids. That's right, his parents had 14 children, and he was number four. They grew up in a village in Lombardy. And he was ordained a priest in 1904 and eventually became the papal nuncio in France and a delegate to Bulgaria, Greece, and Turkey. And he was made a cardinal by Pope Pius XII in 1953. Now, he was elected pope in 1958, so 5 years after he was made a cardinal. He was 76 years old, and there were 11 ballots in that conclave. So it wasn't right away. You know, he wasn't an obvious choice. He seemed to be a compromise candidate. I'm sorry, not compromise, but a compromise candidate for the cardinals there, 1958, elected on that 11th ballot. And Roncalli himself was surprised. He had already purchased his return ticket back to Venice, but he was elected, and he accepted. He chose the name John, and he was expected, because of his age, he was 76 years old, that he would be what's called a, quote, caretaker pope. So Pius XII had a very monumental pontificate, and so the cardinals chose an elderly pope who would just sort of keep the status quo, so they thought. And yet, he almost immediately announced that he would be calling an ecumenical council. And this ecumenical council is what we know as the Second Vatican Council, or as everybody in America calls it, Vatican II. Very controversial council, but obviously called by the Holy Spirit and obviously in God's plan, because John the 23rd is a canonized saint of the church. And he died a painful death. He died of stomach cancer on June the 3rd, 1963. He had only been pope for a little over 4 years, and he died in the middle of Vatican II, so he did not see the close of the Second Vatican Council. That was Paul VI who brought it to an end and completed the council. Now, John the 23rd had a humorous wit. He was very witty. He was very quick. He was very sharp. One of my favorite stories about him, before we get into the jokes, is after, when he was, before he was pope, he would wear his black cassock, and he wrote with a, as most men did, a quill pen. You know, you dip it into the little font there, and then you write, and then you re-dip it into the font. You do that all day. But when you do that, your fingertips get ink on them. And so he would, from time to time, take his right hand that he's writing, and he would rub it on his leg on his black cassock, and he'd wipe off the ink, and it was never a problem because he wore a black cassock. Well, when he was elected pope, he came out of his chamber, and the people, I guess they were cardinals, whoever was there, started to snicker because all over his legs were black smudges because he was wearing a white cassock. But he had the habit for so many years of doing this that he did it without thinking. And then, of course, when you're wearing a white cassock, it doesn't work so well because you have black smudges. So he had to break that habit and no longer wipe his hands on his white cassock. Now, the jokes are great. Once a reporter asked him, "How many people work in the Vatican?" And John the 23rd responded, "About half of them." Okay. Of course, the reporter wanted to know how many people work there. And John the 23rd realized that the Vatican can often be a bureaucracy where half the people are basically doing nothing. Now, another time, a cardinal complained that a rise in Vatican salaries meant a particular usher earned as much as a cardinal. And the Pope remarked, "Well, that usher has 10 children. I hope the cardinal doesn't." Once when John the 23rd was visiting a hospital, he asked a little boy there, who's in the hospital, what he wanted to be when he grew up. The boy said, "Either a policeman or a pope." And John the 23rd said, "Well, I would go for the policeman if I were you. Anyone can be a pope. Just look at me." So that shows both his humor and his humility. He also once said, quote, "It often happens that I wake up at night and begin to think of all the serious problems afflicting the world, and I tell myself I must talk to the Pope about it. Then the next day when I wake up, I remember that I am the Pope." Another time when he was visiting a friend at a hospital called the Hospital of the Holy Spirit, the Mother Superior greeted him and said, "Holy Father, I am the Mother Superior of the Holy Spirit." And he replied, "Lucky you, what a job. I am just the servant of the servants of God," end quote. So, of course, he's, in a certain sense, having a little fun with her. She says she's the Mother Superior of the Holy Spirit. Of course, she means the Hospital of the Holy Spirit. And he replies that he's just the servant of the servants of God. Of course, that's the classic title for the Pope taken up by another Pope saint, Saint Gregory the Great. Now, not long after he was Pope, Saint John was walking on the streets of Rome, and a woman passed him and said to her friend, "Oh my, he's so fat." And of course, John the 23rd was a portly Pope, and overhearing this woman, he turned around and replied, "Madame, I trust you understand that the papal conclave is not exactly a beauty contest," end quote. So he knew that he was a bit overweight, and he was willing to have fun with it. And another time he wrote, "There are three ways to become extremely poor. The first is women, the second is gambling, and the third is farming." And John the 23rd said, "My father chose the most boring one," end quote. So of course, he's saying that his father, who was a good man, became poor, not through women or gambling, but by being a farmer. In fact, his father was a sharecropper in Italy. When John the 23rd was a cardinal and the Patriarch of Venice, he was talking with a wealthy city resident and told him, quote, "You and I have one thing in common, money. You have a lot and I have nothing at all. The difference is that I don't care about it," end quote. So again, he's having a little jest, a little fun with this man, but there's something very profound about that. Sometimes we assume that wealthy people are not concerned about money. You know, we think to ourselves, oh, if I just had an extra $10,000 in my income, or if I only had this much more in my retirement account, I would not have to worry about money at all. And in fact, John the 23rd teaches us here that it's really not about an amount. It's about an attitude. Whether you have a lot or you have a little, it's something that you have to bracket in your life so that it doesn't consume you. Once a journalist came to John the 23rd while he was still Cardinal Roncalli, he was the Patriarch of Venice, and the journalist asked him if he could live his whole life over again, what he would be, what would be his occupation. And John the 23rd said, "I would be a journalist." And then he said with a smile to the journalist, "Now let us see if you have the courage to tell me that if you could do it all over again, you would become the patriarch." End quote. So he's having a little fun there with the journalist. And a Vatican official once told John the 23rd that it would be absolutely impossible to open the Second Vatican Council by 1963. And the Pope replied, "Fine, we'll open it in 1962. And of course, he did. He did it. So that's, again, it's a reminder to have a little humor, but also to realize there will always be naysayers in your life. We've talked about this on previous podcasts. There will always be those people who will say you will never be able to become, insert the blank. You will never accomplish such and such. And I believe that we should go out into the deep with faith and know that God, through His grace, can do wonderful and mighty things through us. He has planted seeds of greatness in your heart, seeds of great aspirations. And if you listen to the world, you will be discouraged because the world looks at the world. And we as people of faith must look to the heavens and aspire to what God has called us to do. Even Christ himself while on earth. Remember, you know, at that time when Peter told Christ, you know, you shouldn't go to Jerusalem and be crucified and persecuted. And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Even one of his closest disciples, St. Peter, was naysaying the mission of Jesus Christ. And that's true of everyone who truly seeks to follow God. And of course, it's true of John the 23rd. He has his critics, but the church has spoken infallibly that he is a saint of God and worthy of our both our respect, our veneration, but that we should emulate his heroic virtues. Now, I want to close here with my favorite quote from St. John the 23rd. I often use this for a toast at a meal. If I'm with some Catholics who know who John the 23rd is, I'll use it. John the 23rd says, "Men are like wine. Some turn to vinegar, but the best improve with age." End quote. That's a great quote. All of us are like wine. As we get older, we will either become better, we'll improve. Our vintage will be amazing. People will taste what we have and say, "Ah, with age, he or she has become even better than what she was before." Or we will begin to sour and become bitter and will become vinegar. We'll be the cranky old man or the cranky old woman who yells at the kids playing on her driveway. We don't want to become that. And so this is, in John the 23rd, you can see in his old age, he was a whimsical, fun, old man to be around. That's why the people loved him so much and they called him Good Pope John. And I'll repeat the quote for you again so you can write it down. Again, use this in a toast. If you're with some people, raise the glass of wine and use this quote from John the 23rd. Quote, "Men are like wine. Some turn to vinegar, but the best improve with age." We'll be right back with our Latin word of the week. Well, our Latin word of the week is, of course, related to our Pope, our sainted Pope, John the 23rd. Before I do that, though, I just wanted to mention that today, for all the members of the new St. Thomas Institute, there is a new video lesson up, and it's the 9 big Trinitarian words that you need to know. So whenever theologians discuss the mystery, the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, there's a special canonized vocabulary that we use so that we don't fall off into heresy. And these are usually big words related to both the Latin and the Greek definitions of the dogma. So you need to know those. And so we did a video on those 9 big Trinitarian words. So if you're a member of the New St. Thomas Institute, log in today when you hear this and check out that video lesson on the words and the vocabulary that we use for the Holy Trinity. And you'll see that there's some Latin in there. So speaking of Latin, let's get to our Latin word of the week. And it is pontifex. Pontifex comes from 2 Latin words. Pons, or in the genitive, pontus, means bridge. And fex comes from facere, which means to make. So a pontifex is really a bridge maker, a bridge builder. So in Roman, you know, in the pagan Roman times, the high priest was a pontifex because he created a bridge between the Romans and their gods, but also between the Romans themselves. He held society together. So when the vicar of Christ, the successor of St. Peter, the Pope, came into ascendancy with the fall of the Roman Empire, this title was transferred to the papacy. Now, a lot of Protestants go, oh, see, that shows that Roman Catholics are pagan, they're not really Christian. But honestly, a high priest is a pontifex. It doesn't matter if a pagan priest was called that or not. And in fact, the Pope is a high priest. He's not the high priest, which is Jesus Christ alone, but the Pope participates in the highest degree in the high priesthood of Jesus Christ. And that's a bit of a mystery. You have to understand the doctrine of participation. And I cover that topic, if you're interested, in 2 of my books. One is The Crucified Rabbi, but even more so in my book, The Catholic Perspective on Paul. And in those books, I talk about how the papacy is a high priesthood insofar as it participates in the high priesthood of Jesus Christ. And of course, Thomas Aquinas teaches this. This is the teaching of the Catholic Church. A lot of Catholics are confused by it, and a lot of Protestants are scandalized by it. But with a proper understanding, we can see that the Pope is the successor of Peter, and Christ commissioned Peter by giving him the keys to bind in heaven, right? Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and vice versa, right? And so, in a sense, he is a gatekeeper or a bridge maker. He is helping us get to Christ, and he is helping all of us stay together, to stay connected, to be bridged to one another in solidarity, because he is the hub of unity for the Christian faithful. So there it is, your Latin word of the week, pontifex, literally a bridge builder. Well, I have a gift for you. If you haven't downloaded it yet, go to taylormarshall.com and you can get my book for free, Thomas Aquinas in 50 pages. Just go to taylormarshall.com. It's up in the upper right-hand corner. Also, if you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe to it. It comes out every Wednesday. And if you subscribe in iTunes, it will automatically download to your computer or preferably to your iPhone or mobile device, so you can listen to it whenever you want, when you're out jogging, when you're in the car, when you're just vacuuming the house, whatever you want to do, it's right there available. And then I'd also really appreciate, I say this every episode, if you would leave a rating on iTunes. So go into iTunes and search Taylor Marshall Show, and when you find that page, it pops right up. You'll find a place to leave a rating. And if you could say something nice about the show, it would mean the world to me. My friend, Greg Willits, he and his wife do the Catholic Next Door podcast. It's a great podcast. I just listened to theirs this morning while I was jogging. I was doing 2 miles, and I got to listen to not all their show. Their show is a bit longer than mine. And he had a great remarks about, this was the Star Wars week. What is it? May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. So May the 4th is the Star Wars day. And he's talking about his experiences seeing Star Wars for the first time as a young kid and all of his fanaticism about Star Wars. It brought about a lot of memories for myself and a lot of good chuckles. So listen to them. Listen to the Catholics Next Door. It's also a Catholic podcast. If you're getting into Catholic podcasts, I'd recommend them. They're really fun. It's a good show, very clean, and I think you'll like it. So check out Greg Willits. Anyway, Greg Willits gave me some tips on how to help some things in iTunes, and we made some modifications. And wouldn't you know it, as soon as Greg Willits gave me some tips and helped me out, the Taylor Marshall Show jumped into what's hot in iTunes Christian category. So it was right up there with all the big Christian podcasters, and that was great to see. So thanks so much, Greg Willits, for that. Okay, and then finally, before we close up here, quick shout out to those who have recently rated the podcast on iTunes. So going out to Sarah Sullivan, Isis 2955, and Rosary Army. And I bet Rosary Army there is my friend Greg Willits, because that was his old podcast, The Rosary Army. So thanks, Greg, for doing that. And we'll close up by saying, remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty.